that we don't get these, we only get these people, well, it's only been 2 years. We're going to have a very short open worship time today. I've told Trevor Manoli we need to start worship at 10:30. I'm changing that. I'm hoping you can be open to that because we want to hear what God says through these people to our church. So there'll be a limited time, and I don't want to restrict what they're prepared. So please come up, folks. So we're actually handing over to you and the Spirit of God for you to bring us what you think you should bring, and we will fit in our worship after that. Let's pray. Gracious Father, again we ask that you'd anoint this couple with your Spirit as you have done in their work for today, for the message you have for Bedford Community Church. Lord, and we want to take this opportunity to pray that you would continue to develop those projects and open up those opportunities that Trevor and Manoli have shared with us today. This work will continue to grow. We praise you for the baptisms. We praise you for people, many people who are coming out of darkness to find the light and the life of Jesus. And Father, sometimes we don't always live in the wonder of what it means to know Jesus because we don't experience or see the darkness so much around us. And we do want to pray together for this couple, or we're in partnership with them and the gospel in Spain in this way. We commit them to you now for their speaking and for our listening. In the name of Jesus, please.
Okay, I'm going to just ask Manoli to share first, and then I'm going to close off with just a thought as well.
So good to be here. We've missed you last year. We didn't come, and we plan to come every year, and we plan to come and visit you every year. And we are very grateful for you and your support, your encouragement. You're visiting us in Spain, and we want to thank you, and may God really do for you as you serve him, you know, what you are asking him for. I want to share with you, I mean, I was thinking what to share, you know. We only get this one chance in a long time. And I want to share with you what God has been teaching me, especially in this past year or 2 years. But mainly it has to do with the work in Ribadeo, which has become very close to my heart. Four things that I want to share with you that I feel God has, you know, stressed in my life in this last year. Four things we need to do. First, we need to show our faith. Or our faith needs to show, you know. The Bible says faith without works is dead. In Joshua 1:6, it says, for us to be strong and courageous. And again, it says in verse 9, I've commanded you to be strong and brave. Don't ever be afraid of this or discouraged. I am the Lord your God, and I will be there to help you wherever you go. Notice this, it says, I will be there to help you wherever you go. So we need to go. We're not going to experience God or what is faith if we are not going. You know, because sometimes we get used to thinking about it, hearing about it, it all sounds very good, but we need to go to where God has called us. Doesn't mean you need to go to Spain, but where you are, you need to step forward, to take risks, to go ahead and do what God is asking you to do, because God will do what he has to do. But we need to step forward and do what he wants us to do. So we have to go into the unknown, into the uncertainty. And when we started the work in Ribadeo, we didn't know anything. We only knew that God was calling us and we needed a place. And so we looked up for a place. We had a little bit of money from Trevor's inheritance. And we thought, we'll get a little place for us to move there. And we found this apartment in one day, 57 square meters, very small. And we thought, well, this sounds good. And it was half price, and it was in this apartment set up with over 300 apartments. And so we thought, it all sounds good. We believe, you know, this is from God. So we signed the contract. But when we went to see it the next day, you know what I saw? I thought, it's cold, very cold. I saw this huge church, stone church next to this apartment buildings. I saw the cemetery, and I thought, where are we coming to, you know? And I thought, maybe we've made a mistake, we've rushed into it, you know? And the place was called San Miguel. Have you seen the church or the little building that was there? You know, the Christians were pushed out like 1938 from there. It was very heartbreaking for them. We read a little bit of the story. But when we got this apartment, we didn't know there had been Christians there. We didn't know this was the place. We didn't know this building you saw was like a kilometer from where we are. But God knew. And he led us there. This place is like 10 kilometers away from Ribadeo. It's a good location for the other towns, because there are other towns that don't have any Christian work. And now we find, I like this place. It's a beautiful area. It's very touristic in the summer. Like, you get the population not double but triple, and it's even going up. So we feel at home, and you know, and I was afraid we are investing all our money in this place. We are never going to be able to sell it, you know. And now every one of those 300 apartments have been sold. There are people in every apartment. So it's good. Okay, the second thing is we need to be confident. You know, sometimes you think, oh, you know, as Christians, it's maybe better to be on the safe side and cautious. And no, we need to be confident because we have God behind us. And confidence goes with faith. But to do that, we need to be positive. We need to think of the positive, you know. We need to believe and to declare and to say, I know, even if it doesn't look possible, I believe God is going to do it. Not because of me, but God is God. I believe he's going to do it. And we need to declare it, you know. And our daughter, she lives in Australia, and she went to this Hillsong conference, was very excited about it. And we went to another conference, and we were not so excited. And I said, I'm never going back. You know, we go to a conference to be built up. And our daughter said, you need to go to the Hillsong conference in London. And we thought, well, you know, that's far. I mean, in the middle of the summer, it's a lot of money because you have to pay for the flight, for the staying, you know, for the conference. And there are no discounts, you know. So we thought, well, you know. But our daughter said, you need to go. You would like it. It's going to build you up. And so we went, you know, 20,000 people went to this conference. And, you know, we enjoyed it. We had to wait long queues all the time to get in, every meeting, every session. People pushing you everywhere. You think 20,000 people, you know. And there was a lot of safety issues. Checking your bag, and you couldn't take the water in. I mean, it was worse than getting in a plane, you know. But, I mean, it was so good that we were there 1 or 2 hours before the door opened. And it was very good. Lots of young people, but also older people from all over Europe were there. And the thing is that God spoke to us, you know. And he spoke in a way that we needed, that's why I'm sharing it with you, we needed to trust him for the big things that we many times give up, for our family, our sons, our daughters, you know, for our dreams, for that miracle that doesn't seem possible because, you know, you think of it and you think, oh, it's never possible. So what do? We have this prayer that we have been praying for many years, but we kind of shrink back, you know, and our, we expect our expectations lower and lower and lower to the point where we are just on the floor and we don't need any bit of faith to see that happen. But God is God. And, you know, we need to continue with our dreams, with our desires, with our prayers, believing that God is going to do it and we are going to see the full outcome. We need to know that what we want God to do, you know, like when Jesus said to the blind man, it was obvious that he needed to see, but he said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And he had to say, I want to see. And we need to commit ourselves to see what we want and to commit ourselves and to see it really coming through, seeing the full answer, the full outcome. And one night I was sleeping in Ribadeo, you know, and I woke up in the middle of the night and I was really worried. We had this couple that we had been counseling. So we had given them good advice, but all of a sudden they stopped coming. And in the middle of the night, I was playing that in my mind. Should we have done this? Should we have said that? Should we? Did we say the wrong thing, you know? Were we wrong in giving them this advice at this time? So many questions, you know? And I think I remember maybe for hours I was just going through that. And all of a sudden, I just felt, you know, God saying, stop it. You know, stop it. You are enough, you know? I'm behind you, you know. You can do it, you know. And I just felt it, you know. And he is prepared me for this. We know what to do. So why am I always doubting? And, you know, you need to understand we are here in this situation where there's a lot of spiritual oppression and opposition, and it's very real because there are no any other Christians, you know. And even those that are there, you know, there's another missionary couple, and they are experiencing the same thing, you know, that we are. Anyway, it says in 2 Corinthians 3:4, such is the confidence and steadfast reliance and absolute trust that we have through Christ our Lord. Not that we are sufficiently qualified in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency and qualifications come from God. And so I want to tell you today, you are enough for what God has called you. Don't ever doubt, don't ever be afraid. Just go ahead and do it. Because God is standing behind us, you know. And the third thing, and I need to rush because the time is gone, we need to do great things. We need to do great things. You need to do great things for God. Because time goes, you know. And we need to do great things for God. We went to this cafe in Ribadeo that you saw in the picture. We had this money. All of a sudden, this money was stopped because they got other goals. So we just didn't fit in into those goals. We were getting lots of people coming to the meeting, but it wasn't easy ever, you know. And we got a lot of, I don't know how you call it, but bags and crawling insects. We tried all sorts of, you know, things, fly poison and all that to kill it. We didn't get rid of it. You know, it will always come back. And, you know, things like this always get discouraged. We had this pot plant or this flower pot. You saw it in the picture and on the window that was robbed maybe 3-4 times, so you come there and it's gone. And it's only a little thing, but it makes you feel really bad, you know, because you're not in control even of that small thing, you know. And all of a sudden, later on, a lady brought this plant that she had found in the road, and she knew about it. And we didn't know this lady. We wondered, how does she know about us? You know, she brought the plant back. Another time we came, and the plant was in there again. And then walking about, we did our shopping, and we found the plant in the middle of the city. Somebody had taken it there. So, you know, opposition is very real. We've suffered curses from people, witchcraft, you know. Lots of things, and it was very hard. And so we started meeting in homes, and we met in different homes, and we ended up having this Sunday meeting in, you know where? In San Miguel. That's where we live. But we didn't plan it that way, but bit by bit, we are there. And, you know, it's very good. We feel very good going to the meeting place in this believer's house, and we have... We are seeing people from the city coming, from Ribadeo coming, and also people from the Agua Viva Church. They come every Sunday. And our little apartment sometimes has to put up with 15 people for lunch. So we have people in the balcony, in the corridor, you know, everywhere, because it's very small. But... I say we need to do great things. We are believing God that He's going to give us this place for the church. We want to put up the stake and say we are not moving, you know. Things are hard. Things are difficult. You know, we know who is against us, but we are not moving, you know, putting the stake. And we believe God is going to do it. And we are believing God for great things. And the last thing I want to share with you is that we need to do our best. We need to give our best, ourselves, of our money, our time, our talents. Roosevelt said, we need to ask not for a light burden, but for a strong back. We, you know, if you're coming Saturday, you will probably taste the Spanish tortilla. It's a very common dish. Every cafe will have this. And it's made of potatoes and eggs. Then you can add other things, but that's the basic. We have this lady from church. And she has a coffee bar. And she's very good at making tortillas, you know. She always says, oh, come and have breakfast and we have time together. But we have very little time, so we've gone a few times. But other times she will send us a little box with a piece of tortilla because she's very good at making it. You know, a little bit hard on the outside, soft in the inside. And she's now selling to other businesses. And she's starting a little business herself from her coffee bar. But, you know, with a tortilla, you cut it like a pie, you share it around to people, and you think, well, if I give all my tortilla, all my pieces, I'll have none for myself. You bake another tortilla, or you make another tortilla, and then you have more to give. And sometimes I feel we are afraid, you know, to share what we have, because we think if I give, then I won't have any for myself. But there's plenty more, you know, there's plenty more. Because our God has all the resources. So we shouldn't be afraid to have nothing left. We can make another tortilla and start again sharing with people. I want to finish here. He who finds his life will, he who loses his life will find it. I believe that. And I believe we have a God who really cares for us, who wants to give us a good life, who has a purpose for our life, who has a project, and we can trust Him. Amen.
Okay, I'm going to do a miracle here. I'm going to reduce a 20-minute message to 5 minutes. Okay, put your watches on. Manoli talked about sharing what God has given us. And I just want to finish off with that thought because God has been speaking to me a lot about that. We have a time every Sunday when both churches that everybody loves, we love it, where we just open it up for people to share testimonies. I think you do it here as well. You know, what has God done in your life? What has God done for you this, not 10 years ago or 20 years ago, last week? Just to share about that. And we expect God to be real to us, to meet our needs, to listen to our prayers. But my question is, you know, as we expect that of God, Have you ever thought about what God expects of us? What has God done for you last week? But the question is, I'm just going to leave it there for you to think about it. What have you done for God last week? What are you willing to do for God? What is He asking you to do? Now, I've been thinking a lot about the, actually I'm sharing this in the different churches as we go around, just a parable, another story of Jesus, but a very serious one where He talks about the talents, where a man, he goes on a journey and he gives to his servants, he gives one 5 talents, another one 2 talents, and another one 1 talent, and he says, you know, put this to work, I'm going, but I'm coming back. And so each one, well, the one with the 5 talents, he goes to work, he invests, and he earns another 5 talents. The one with the 2, he does the same. But the one with the 1 talent, he says he's afraid, and he buries it, and he doesn't do anything with it. At this point, you're probably thinking, yeah, I know that story. That's why, you know, guys like you are doing mission work. That's why pastors are doing their work. That's why evangelists are doing that work. And I pray for you. I might even support you. And, you know, I come along to church every Sunday. That's my bit, and I think I'm doing pretty good. But, you know, I don't really have that much more time on my hands. I don't really have really any talents. I don't really have that much. I mean, what more does God expect me to do? I mean, he's given out all the talents to the other guys. You know, I'm not really that talented. But I just want to do just a very quick mental exercise. Don't have to look at anybody. You can look at them sideways or backwards if you want to, but at least mentally, just think about everybody, because you know everybody, you know each other here in this church. Just think about all of those who you think are nicer looking than you. Don't say anything. Just think about it. Just cross them off, okay? And think about all of those who, you know, have got a better home and a better car than you. Cross them off. Think about all of those that you know in this church who have got a better job than you, more money than you. Cross them off. Think about all of those who you'll say have got an easier life than you, less problems than what you've got. Cross them off. Just think about those who've got more talents than you. And you know, by this stage, you've probably crossed everybody off. But you know, the thing is, I'm sure all of you have done the same. If not, most of you have crossed everybody off, because we all think that we are this guy that's only received 1 talent. We've got less than what God has dished out to everybody else. That's no problem. Actually, I really think that God has done it that way. And if we listen to Paul when he talks about, you know, the sort of people that God looked for to do his work in 1 Corinthians, he says, you know, on purpose he chose those who are not really that talented, or those who don't really, they're not really that wise or that well off, on purpose for his purposes, so that he can do his work through you. So, you know, if you think you're just the 1 talent or the $1 guy, and most of us would see ourselves that way, comparing ourselves to others, that's no problem. It's still, you've got something. We've got something that God has given us, as God's given to you. The question is, what are you doing with that 1 talent? Are you investing it? Are you investing it in God's work? Because that's what He wants us to do. And, you know, I'm going to cut this now right down to the end. And, you know, just say that, you know, sometimes we think, again, you know, I don't have. But, you know, we have sometimes even hidden talents. You know, talents that God has given you that you wouldn't even think maybe that they are a talent. What about failure? What about pain? What about those hard times that you go through, that we all go through? You know, Paul again says in 2 Corinthians that God has a purpose in all of that, and He allows us to go through hard times, and through that we seek and we find God's, that God is there, that God is real, God's, what's the word, God's, what's the, you know, God, comforts you. And then with that experience, you're able to comfort and help others because you've been through it. That's a talent. You're better prepared than someone who hasn't been through it. Use it. When God brings someone along into your life who's going through a similar situation, God wants to use you to minister to those people. And what about another hidden talent that could be just, you know, you think, I just can't do these things that I think I'm supposed to be doing or they're asking me to do, lead a Sunday school, preach, share, evangelize, disciple. You know, I can't do that. It's all my weakness. You know, my father was, before he became a pastor, he was an evangelist. He was a street evangelist. He was a child evangelist. He was really ahead of his time. He used to have a one-man show. He had a VW van that he had made himself. He opened it. He would just go to schools. He'd go to outback towns. He'd open it up. It sort of opened up on a big stage. This is before these big semi-trailer stages had been invented. He'd, you know, the top would open up, have the lights platform come out. He'd have his music. He wasn't musical, but he'd play, piano accordion. He couldn't speak well, but he would draw and he would illustrate with chalks. He had a ventriloquist doll that could speak, you know, better to the kids than anybody would. They would listen to that doll. He would do magic tricks. He did the whole thing. And, you know, when he passed away, I asked my mother, I said, where did he learn all that from? And she said, well, he learned it himself. Because he thought he was never good at communicating. So he worked hard at it and God helped him. And, you know, when you think you can't, but God is calling you to do it, you know, God is going to give you the resources. He's going to, and it's better actually if you think you can't. Because if you go into serving God thinking you can, then, you know, God's probably going to miss out. And he doesn't want to miss out. He wants to get the glory. He wants to use you and us as weak vessels, but willing to use what he gives us and as he teaches us, and as we work hard at it, to invest in his work. The fellow who hid his talent, the main reason that it says that he did it was because he was afraid. You know, fear, as Manoli's been sharing, is a robber of all that God has given to you. He ended up, even that one talent that was given to him, losing that. God took that off him and gave it to someone else. And the investment principle is that if we invest in God's work, you know, sometimes we think we're going to lose out. If I give more of my time to God, if I give more of my money to God, if I give more of my energy or talents to God, you know, he's asking too much. I'm going to lose. Wrong. The more we invest in God's work, the more he's going to give to us. So I just want to encourage you to invest in God's work. Rebecca, our youngest daughter, she really had a heart. God gave her a gift, real heart, real burden, which is another hidden talent. If you've got a burden, if you're saying, why aren't we doing this? Why isn't the church doing that? Maybe because God has called you to do it. I'll leave that to aside. She had a burden. She's always had a burden for children. She came back to Australia, and she had, you know, really had to struggle with the language. She didn't know how the things were done. And it was hard for her to work on what she wanted to do to serve God. But, you know, she took the first advantage that God opened up to her. One girl that a school was asking just for people to help mentor, you know, children coming from dysfunctional families. And so she volunteered to invest in that person's life. Just a little girl, you know, heaps of problems. And she did it, and she did a good job, and she invested, and she is still doing it with that girl. She invested her talent where God gave her the opportunity. And a couple of years later, I mean, she now is working as a chaplain in two large public schools. She's got hundreds of children now that she can continue investing in because that talent got multiplied. I just want to encourage you. Don't be afraid, as Manoli said. Step out in faith. Invest in God's work. Use what God has given you because, you know, that's the best thing you can do with your life. God bless.